Decades of neurological struggles and brain surgery tried to stop her. But my guest? Nope. God was fighting for her and strengthening her to become an overcomer. We're going to hear about it today on The Bravehearted Woman. Hey, beautiful Bravehearts. It's Dawn Damon, Braveheart mentor and vision architect. And this is the Bravehearted Woman podcast. Here we talk all things mindset, health, goals, dreams, and habits for midlife women so we can design the second half of life as the best half of life. I know how scary it can be to arrive at midlife and find yourself stuck and unfulfilled. It's difficult to take brave steps that lead to transformation, but I've done it and you can too. Now I'm here to help you ignite the flame of your imagination so you can see what's possible. You can reach your goals and achieve all your dreams. Are you ready? Come on, let's get brave. Hey, beautiful Bravehearts. Good to be with you. It's your girl, Dawn Damon. So happy to introduce to you my guest today. She's a wife. She's a mom. She's an author, a speaker. She's the host of the podcast, Challenges Won't Stop Me. You'll understand why in just a moment. And her award-winning interactive survival guides called Challenges Won't Stop Me and Keep Moving Forward inspires women to be overcomers as she is an overcomer. Meet my guest today, Melanie Brown. Hello, Melanie.
Hey there, Dawn. Thanks so much. I have been looking forward to this.
We have been too, because listen, girlfriend, you are an overcomer. And when I say that, many of us have overcome a lot of things, but yes. Like you're bad to the bone. You have overcome. You got to share your story with us.
I don't know that anyone has ever said that I'm bad to the bone, but I'm going to run with that. I love that.
You take it. You've earned it.
So a little bit about my story. I could go into a gazillion details, but I'm just going to give a real quick snapshot of it.
Sure.
I didn't learn what caused the stroke that I had when I was very young until I was 45 years old. The stroke happened when I was 2 years old. And at that time, it was 65-year-old and older people that were having strokes, and not just an age requirement, but smoked, obese, just poor living skills. And they looked at my mom and dad and they went, "We don't know what to tell you. We don't know why she had this stroke." Mm-hmm. So that is a neurological incident that left me with some residual deficits that have carried through my entire life. But my parents, from a very young age, they were 22, Dawn, when this happened to me.
So young. They didn't have a clue what to do.
They didn't. But God had already said to them, "You are not going to allow this stroke to interfere with her life. We want her to try all of the things that regular kids, if other kids are regular, regular or normal, we want her to try it. Riding a bike, playing sports, all the things." The only pass that my parents gave me was they knew that the limited fine motor skills in my left hand would make it very difficult for me to pass the typing class. Yes, that definitely ages me, but
that ages.
It's the truth. They went to the school and said, "She will fail it. It will mess up her GPA. Please do not make her take it." So that was the only out I ever got. I was expected to try everything. I may be slower. It may be something that I just genuinely can't do, but they wanted me to try it all. So my parents were the ones who taught me to be an overcomer.
Thank God for those parents.
Amen.
Your mom and dad who just said, you know, we are not going to let this difference, disability or differently abled,
yes,
define our daughter's life. They instilled in you really a mindset, didn't they?
Absolutely. And I have carried it through all of my life, and I needed it because the stroke was just the first of many challenges that I would face. Fast forward to my late 20s, I had about 11 years of debilitating migraines. Now, I'm not trying to say mine, look at me, I'm better, but there are people who have them once every 90 days or so, and it throws them in the bed and in the dark. And I do feel sympathy for them, but mine were 2 or 3 a week in the bed, not functioning for 11 years. They couldn't
Wow.
figure out why. And thank goodness for my husband, because he took care of me and he took care of our 2 boys, and he took care of everything. And then, as I finally was getting to where those were sort of managed, then I started having mini strokes. So stroke is neurological, migraines are neurological, and mini strokes are neurological. And after the fourth one, my neurologist said, well, we've tried all kinds of tests and we just don't know why you're having all of these issues. We're going to do an angiogram. Now, Don, normally when an angiogram is done, it's done on a person's heart,
Art.
but they did an angiogram of my brain.
Ah.
And on that angiogram, they immediately knew what had caused 45 years of neurological issues. And it is called Moya disease.
Moya.
Moya.
Moya, Moya. So before you tell us more, we just got to grasp this. You had a stroke when you were two.
Yes.
And now you're 45?
Well, not anymore. I'm actually 55 now,
I mean,
but when
45
this
when that
happened,
happened,
yes.
and you're just at 45 figuring out what's been going on with you all these years?
Yes, because while I'd had symptoms, the testing that they did wasn't detailed enough, or I guess invasive enough, to get to the little bitty fine area of my brain where the Moyamoya was living.
So, oh my goodness. So, I want to hear the rest of your story, but I can't imagine not struggling. If, for me, I would struggle with anxiety, depression. I don't know how you coped with it. Did this diagnosis give you some sense of, wow,
Yes.
thank you?
Yes. Now, I didn't accept Jesus until I was in college, but I had been going to church since 7th grade. Even though I had not accepted Jesus until I was in college, I give him credit because he helped me all my life up to that point. He
Yeah.
strengthened me. He really taught me the importance of keep moving forward. And that's why I titled my second book that. You're going to have challenges. And he just kept pushing me, not in a just get over it kind of attitude, but I've told you in my word that there will be trouble in this world, but take heart, I've overcome the world. And that
Yeah.
take heart in the Greek is a powerful term. It talks about that spirit empowered courage and that grit and that unflinching just
Fortitude.
keep going. Yeah, the fortitude. And that was something that I carried with me. I think he knew, well, I know he knew, let's be real.
Yeah.
He knew from the very beginning that I would be able to talk to people and empathize with them and say, I've been there. I have struggled. I have faced some really scary things that really should have taken me out. But I'm just telling you, lean hard on God. He will equip you and empower you with what you need to get through those times. Is he going to take it away? Oh, I wish.
Yeah.
But he doesn't promise us that. He
Right.
promises that he will be with us and that he will give us what we need. And he's done that just unbelievably.
Yeah, powerful. So you get the diagnosis of Moya Moya, which is a neurological disorder. What is that?
Yes. So
Okay.
I learned this after I got the diagnosis, because of course I had to go home and Google it, which really was a scary thing because I learned a whole lot more than I probably should have about it, but it is
Yeah.
a rare cerebrobrain,
Okay.
vascular blood,
Oh.
progressive disease that first originated in Asia, and it mostly happens in Asian people. Now,
Oh. That's interesting.
you look at me and there's not a touch of Asian in me. So it
No.
doesn't necessarily follow those parameters. But the three main characteristics of Moyamoya disease are strokes, mini strokes, and migraines. And Don, I'm an overachiever just about everything I do. So, I had to get all three of them in.
Why not have
Two
them
wasn't
all?
good enough.
That's right. Oh my goodness.
So you asked a moment ago if it was a relief to get that diagnosis, and it actually was, because neurological issues, yes, sometimes there are physical appearances of them. Like you could look at me and see that. But a lot of what happens with a neurological struggle happens in your brain, and you may or may not see it happening. After my husband has been with me on this journey, I can squeeze his hand like I did the last mini stroke that I had. We were at church and I squeezed his hand and he said, "I could tell you are off this morning. Are you having a mini stroke?" And I said, "Yeah, we need to leave." But I questioned for years if I was making it up or making it larger than it actually was, because people would say, "You look great." And I'm thinking, I may look great on the outside, but on the inside, my brain is like, "Wah."
Yeah, I'm not feeling so great. So I can't imagine. You have been such a champion. And again, talking about your parents building in you this fortitude, this grit, this keep on keeping on spirit that you're talking about. How important is mindset in overcoming challenges?
Oh, that's a loaded question, Dawn. We
I
could
mean,
spend the next 5 hours talking about that.
right.
I think mindset is so important. I can't stress it enough. We are going to go through challenges. I mean, the Bible is a book of God's people going through challenges. If we think that when we become Christians, that we are going to have this beautiful life of peaches and cream and everything is going to go beautifully, we have been severely deceived, because that is not what God's word says. But God's word does something that sometimes people don't even notice, because they're reading a story and they're getting the details. But those stories are packed with how God's people respond to those challenges. And that's what I have taken away from a lot of the stories, is not only the events of the situation, the challenge, but it's how God's people responded. King Jehoshaphat is my favorite Bible character, which is the strangest thing, because people look at me like, "What?"
Who, Jehoshaphat, who? Why is he your favorite?
Well, in 2 Chronicles 20, it talks about that there was a vast army coming against his kingdom, and his people were out watching, and they run to him and they say, "There's this vast army coming. What do we do? What do we do?" And he immediately, this is his response, he says, "We need to fast and pray." So that's a mindset. It's not, am I going to panic and freak out? The mindset is, I'm going to do what I know is going to help me get through this challenge. And God gives us his word. He gives us prayer. He gives us fasting. The list goes on. He gives us what we need for facing challenges. That's mindset.
It's a perspective and a viewpoint, a frame that we look at through our situation. We can be victims of it. You could be a victim. You could get all kinds of paths in life because, after all, you have this. You could make excuses, but
Yeah.
instead, I choose to be an overcomer. I choose to take God's word. Do you
Yes.
have a favorite verse, by the way? Is there a fight verse inside of you?
Very much so. I believe strongly in having a fight verse because we need to have that not only memorized, but just so much a part of the fabric of who we are. Because when a challenge happens, I would honestly say 95% of the time, it's unexpected. So you can't be running for your Bible, or you can't go, now, what did I learn 3 months ago in that sermon? And what did I learn in this Bible study? I should have written that down, but I didn't. You gotta have that in the core of who you are.
Yes, a reflex.
Yes. And that's why I could go on a whole long thing and I'm not, but that's why it's so important for us to memorize God's word. I'm working on that because we need to have it like flowing out of us. And
Hey, by
so,
the way, can you do that? Can you memorize? Can you read? Do you have any challenges along those lines? How do you get that word of God in you?
repetition is my friend.
Okay. Yes.
That's one of my strategies that I teach my students that I tutor, and it works great for preparing for a test. And I'm sorry, it is 100% relatable to being in a challenge or a test in real life.
Yeah, so let's hear your fight verse.
Yes.
Absolutely.
So Hebrews 2:13, that is from the Amplified Bible Classic Edition.
Okay.
Okay.
Wow.
So it matters. It matters. That's
Very.
where I first learned it. So that is an expanded version with some of the Greek that's in it. So it says, my trust and assured reliance and confident hope shall be fixed in him. So when
That's
I'm
great.
going through a challenge, I got to remember, this is a big challenge. This is trouble. I don't like this, but I can trust God to get me through this because he's done it before.
Yes.
The assured reliance part is I can rely on him to take care of me, to equip me, to empower me, to put the right people in the right places, to open the doors, to get the right doctor, whatever it is. I can rely on him because he is faithful and trustworthy.
Yes,
And then
thank
my
you.
confident hope is just something that has continued to grow deeper and deeper roots. And it all goes back to King Jehoshaphat, because in that Second Chronicles 20, his prophet came and started speaking. And the prophet said, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are fixed on you. So that's the last part of my fight verse. So no matter how awful it gets, I remind myself, don't try to fix it. It's not your job. You
Yeah.
fix your eyes on him.
I don't know what to do, Lord, but my eyes are fixed on you because
Yes.
you do know what to do.
Yes.
You know, Melanie, you're so strong. I always feel like when I've talked to you, you inspire. You're kind of a rascal, you know. Do they say that in the southern? You clearly from down south, you are an overcomer. But do you have moments where you feel afraid?
Oh, absolutely. So once I got the diagnosis, I said, what do we do about this, Moya Moya? Because this has been 45 years.
Yeah.
Because Moya Moya is something that happens when you are in the womb being developed. So from those verses, what we hear all the time, when I was being knit together in my mother's womb, God knew that this was going to be in my brain and he allowed it. So for 45 years, I have had been living with it. And they said, well, we can wait and see and we'll monitor it. And I looked at the neurosurgeon and I said, can't do that. We've been waiting and seeing and monitoring it for 45 years. Well, for 43, because the stroke happened when I was two. So what's
Yeah.
the other option? And he said, well, brain surgery. And I said, okay, explain that to me. So Moya Moya is this cluster in my brain, and it's basically causing the congestion to happen that then leads to the stroke and mini strokes and migraines. And I said, so do you cut it out? Like, what is it that you're going to be doing? And he said, no, we actually leave it. And then we take a thriving blood vessel out, and then we move it and place it on the area of your brain, which, by the way, was a sixth of my brain that hasn't been getting oxygen. So there was a sixth of my brain, Dawn, that had not been getting oxygen my entire life. That's
Wow.
just
That's
God.
mind-boggling. Yeah,
That's just God. There is
yeah.
no way that I could have lived. And I had a master's
Function.
degree at that point. Like, how is that even possible?
Right? How did you get a master's degree with a sixth of your brain not engaged?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Only God.
So brain surgery. So what
Yes.
happened? So is that what you did?
Yes.
Wow.
So in March, it will be 10 years.
Okay.
Yep.
Because I understand that naturally speaking, there's no cure.
No cure. And it's
So.
progressive. So I am friends with through Facebook some people who've had multiple surgeries because their moya progressed. And I just thank God all the time that so
Yeah.
far mine has not.
Yep. Amen.
But if it
Wow.
does, we'll just deal with it then.
And
We
then
will.
your eyes are on him.
Yep.
Yep. So I have both of your books. We had the privilege of meeting each other, and you signed these and gave these to me, and they're so fabulous. But you know, the subtitle of both of these books is an interactive survival guide for overcoming and thriving. Why are these interactive?
Well, I think I mentioned a moment ago that I'm a teacher. I started out as a teacher and now I do tutoring. I don't know how to not be interactive because if you're reading something and trying to learn and gain from it, strategies or habits or mindsets, just the cursory reading of it silently, you are going to get stuff, but it's not going to stick. What I know from being a special ed teacher is that if you are interacting by underlining and highlighting, because I direct you to do that, by answering questions, and I have visual images that represent the different topics that I share, I'm encouraging the reader to also color those because when you interact in those ways, you will have a higher chance of remembering it. So the next time you have a challenge and you're just really, oh, I don't know what to do, you think about, okay, well, she said a map represents God's word. So I'm going to go get my map and I'm going to read God's word. She
Yeah.
also says that I should be praising God, even though it's hard, even though I have to just say those words through gritted teeth. I need to praise and worship God during the hardest times. And that's represented by binoculars because we want to fix our eyes on God by looking up.
Yeah.
That's my hope is that when that next challenge comes, those who have read it and interacted with it, that they will have the tools and reminders of how to face that new challenge and not be overwhelmed by it and not let it take you down. Because that's the what we see in a lot of cases is people just completely crumble
Yeah.
and they just give up. And you and I, we're not about that.
No. No,
We
we're
got God
brave-hearted
fighting for
women.
us. There is no reason you should be doing that.
Yep. One of my fight scriptures is, and I think a lot of people use this one, but no weapon formed against me
Yes.
will prosper. And I say that on a regular basis, but there are times, you know, the Bible talks about the fear sometimes would cause people to melt like wax. And I'm like, yeah, I've felt that. I've had my heart melt like wax. Like all of a sudden, all that strength and fortitude just goes woo, in a puddle. But God, you know, and then it has to be a reflex. You have to be able to pull out of your spirit or come naturally, automatically, your stand, your stance. So my circumstance says this, but my stance says this. No weapon formed against me. And that's what you do today, Melanie. You minister to women, you empower them to overcome life's challenges, you teach them how to thrive, how to stand. What encouragement would you give someone who's listening today? Maybe they're facing a trial that they could melt like wax, but they're wanting to be an overcomer. What would you say?
Just like what we said about King Jehoshaphat, fix your eyes on God. The reason that I said that the binoculars would be great as an essential piece of gear when you're going through a challenge about praising God is that we tend to, when we're in a challenge, focus on the 10 feet in front of us, the challenge. And it feels bigger than life. It feels like it is going to consume you and destroy your life and destroy your family and all the different things. But if we can lift our binoculars and look up to God and fix our eyes on Him, then it would be great if by fixing our eyes on God, He just instantaneously took that challenge and made it better. Or took it away, whatever the case may be. What it does, though, and this is what's so powerful, Don, is that when you look up and you praise and worship God during those tough times, of course, the enemy is furious. He knows that while he can bother you, he can't take you under because you are God's.
Yes, amen.
But it changes us, it changes our perspective because we then see that while the circumstances appear in the natural big, too big, when we put our focus on God and we fix our eyes on Him, our perspective changes for us to see in the spiritual realm that He is so much bigger than any challenge. I mean, any challenge that we could ever face. And when you do that, your faith, your trust grows exponentially. So
Yes.
it's a matter of praising and worshiping, fixing our eyes on God. But when you do that, then you're like, I got to get in the word. I got to spend time praying. It's not a checklist anymore. It's you want to learn more about God because, wow, you're seeing Him in a whole different way through a challenge.
Yes. Has your challenges caused you to grow in your faith? I know the answer.
Yes. And I will tell you that 2024 and 2025 is James 1, 2, 3, 4. Count it all joy when you face trials of many kinds, because these 2 years have been trials of many kinds. And I keep saying to God in my prayer time, I want to grow, but like, could we slow this down just a bit, please? So, yes. Absolutely. And I would not, and I'm being totally honest because it sounds very trite. Yeah, of course you would say that. No, I'm being very, very serious.
Yes.
I would not trade what I have learned during my challenges for anything in this world. I wouldn't. Have they been hard fought and have I wanted to crumble? Have I wanted to just say it's not worth it? Of course, sure. We're human. But oh, how much more I know about God that I really truly would not know if it weren't for those challenges. I wouldn't. And I think that He uses challenges in many different ways. But I think one of the ways that He uses challenges is to teach us and impart things to us that we're not going to get through just our everyday lives or the great, wonderful celebrations and happy times. We get those by going through it and by leaning hard on Him and standing firm only because we're standing firm on His foundation.
Yes, we know and have it's been proven that adversity causes growth when we keep our eyes on Jesus,
Yes.
When we keep our eyes on the right thing, we could curl up in a ball and quit. That is an option. Not an option for me. It's not an
No.
option for you, but some people choose it. But adversity can cause growth and our faith in God. And you do. We find parts of God's character that we wouldn't uncover otherwise and get to know him in ways that we wouldn't have. You're an award-winning author, the podcast host of Challenges Won't Stop Me. If someone wants to find you or take part in anything that you're doing, listen to your podcast, what's the best way to find you? I do know that we're going to put all of your links in our show notes, but how can
Thank
we get a
you.
hold of you?
So, my website is my first and last name. I'm going to spell it because while mom and dad taught me to be an overcomer, they also have caused me to have to spell my name my entire life. But hey, I'll take it. So, it's Melanie Brown, MelonyBrown.com. On there, you can get to my podcast episodes if you aren't on any podcast apps, which feels kind of weird these days, but if not, you can listen to them there. YouTube channel on my website. One of the things, I don't know that you and I've had a chance to say this, but I spent some time because I feel like it's so valuable to put a whole page on there of resources. It's not about me at all. There's not one mention of my books or my podcast or anything. It's books with topics of people that I have interviewed on my podcast that are knowledgeable in certain areas. And then also some videos and music videos, some songs that encourage you when you're going through difficult times. I know that it's
Wonderful.
hard going through those times, and sometimes you feel alone. And that resources page is meant to give you resources that are detailed to what you're going through.
Yes, thank you so much for sharing that with us. Thank you for being with us today on the Bravehearted Woman. And for you bravehearts that are listening, maybe it's time for you to reignite your confidence and to awaken your courage and take a brave step. Maybe you're saying, you know what? I need clarity. I need to stop second guessing what God has called me to. I'm shrinking. I don't want to wonder anymore. Is it too late for me? Maybe you're ready for a bravehearted transformation and visit my website, braveheartedwoman.com. /Bravehearted Transformation. This is for the woman who knows she's meant for more. There you'll find my resources and my course. I'd love for you to avail yourself to it. Melanie, once again, thank you for joining us.
It
And
was
I'm gonna
wonderful.
thank you. I'll leave you all like I always do, Bravehearts. It's time for you. Find your brave and live your dreams. Hey, thanks for hanging out with me today and igniting your brave. Trust me, you'll never be the same. Now, for my free gift, make sure you click the link in our show notes. And to find out more about me, my books, or my amazing coaching course, visit braveheartedwoman.com. If you found help in this podcast, please like it, follow, and review me. It helps get the word out and up those algorithms so more amazing Bravehearts can find this message. You can also share it on your social media platforms or with someone you know who can really benefit. You can find my latest book, The Making of a Bravehearted Woman, Courage, Confidence, and Vision in Midlife, on Amazon and all the usual suspects. All right, this is Dawn Damon, as always, saying, find your brave and live your dreams.